Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We think of ourselves in America as the preeminent freedom fighters. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds, etc., etc., etc.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
But in the annals of protesting and taking matters into your own hands, the French are maybe the real pros. I mean, have you checked out the streets of Paris this week?
62, 67, on veut la retraite à 60 ans, 62.
Students pouring out of high schools or the lycées throughout Paris to protest older workers changing their retirement age. The hooded protesters have shut down gas stations, they've blocked access to the airports, smashed storefronts, all because of 2 years, 730 days. The government's plan will move the retirement age from 60 to 62, and young people are afraid it could get worse.
If old people work to 67, the young people haven't job. They haven't got job. So it's a problem, because in two years, I finish my studies, and after what? What? I cannot work.
That protester speaks for a generation of disaffected youth facing unemployment rates of almost 25% in some areas. The government says it can't afford the pension benefits and the traditional long French worker holidays. And that's stirred up a deep resentment that's shared by all ages.
Amazingly, the unions are supporting these high school students, and there's broad support among the French public. Pascal Lebrun is a French teacher. Being made to work past the age of 60 is for her and many like her an attack on the French way of life.
Alors, je suis enseignante en élémentaire.
I'm a teacher and I'm against the proposals to make us work longer. People who work in the public sector, when they reach 60, they're completely exhausted because the working conditions are so hard. And especially nowadays, for example, in schools we have fewer and fewer teachers and more pupils.
Celeste, by chance this week, some young Parisians in their 30s were actually visiting us on holiday and helping us to follow the headlines back in France. And when my wife and I expressed some worry about matters back home, they just rolled their eyes. C'est la vie.
Comme si, comme
exactly
ça.
Right. The government has to raise the retirement age, they said, and the French Senate is expected to pass the pension bill sometime later this week. And the protests, we asked? Oh, that's something we all do at some point, they said. Strikes, protests, smelling tear gas, another part of the French way of life.
There's a kind of routine feel to the whole thing. Yesterday, a group of protesters took a break to go home and watch a football match. That's even as their president was on TV pleading for calm.
Bah, bien sûr. C'est pas de gaieté de cœur qu'on les affronte. Mais le plus grand débordement serait de pas faire mon devoir.
Europe's best-known pint-sized politician is faced with a situation that makes his job harder. 10% unemployment means people are feeling bitter and angry at the same time that they have extra time on their hands. The question for Nicolas Sarkozy is, will it become a full-scale civil war between the French way of life and the economic reality in Europe?
In France and Britain and Greece and even in pockets in the United States, we're seeing a broad economic conflict between the private sector and the public sector over issues of taxes, spending, government employment, and services. Well, let's set this in some context, shall we? Joining us now is Richard Wolff, Professor Emeritus from the University of Massachusetts, Amherst. Professor Wolff, how do we set the protests in France into this context with what's going on between the private and public sectors in places like Britain and even here in the United States, where there are all sorts of angry discussions about government spending?
Well, I think that the historic context is this. We're not with a business-as-usual kind of situation. This is not just another struggle between public and private sector. This is a crisis, and I think it's a historic crisis. And I want to stress more than anything that this is the first time we have seen, since this great crisis hit us in 2007, a mass population saying, enough. We will not tolerate having the mass of people pay the price for a collapse of a capitalist system that doesn't work and of a government policy of bailing out the financial sector before helping anyone else.
So what's the second act here? If the first act was the sort of financial numbers and the unemployment rate rising and the sort of financial meltdown that we saw, is this the second act? And if it's sustainable, where do we go after France? We've already seen rioting in Greece over public sector, a belt tightening. Now we've got the French situation. What happens next?
Well, I think first to say this has been a case in which at every point, starting about 7 months ago, first in Greece, now in France, people do, as you've mentioned, roll their eyes and say, oh, well, that's what we do. Normally what we do lasts a few days or a few weeks. This is now half a year old. It clearly has broken the mold of what people are used to. I think a constitutional crisis is building in France. When the public polls there show 70% of the people supporting the demonstrators, you have a completely new situation. I think the business community in France is facing a very difficult reality. Either they pay for the mess they made and for the government programs that bailed them out, or the mass of the people are going to do it, and the mass of the people are basically saying, we won't.
Nevertheless, the French Senate is expected to pass this pension bill. Is that a shot across the bow for more protests?
I think so, and I think the protesters have said it crystal clearly. This is not a negotiable issue. You're going to have to find another way to fix this mess, and it's going to have to come out of the hides of the bankers and big businessmen and wealthy that have so far escaped. You know, just as a footnote, there are two ways for the government to raise the money to fix this system. One is the austerity against which the French are fighting now.
Right.
The other one is to tax business and the wealthy and make them pay. It still leaves them rich and wealthy. It just leaves them less rich and wealthy. And that's what the French are basically demanding. And I don't think whatever the Senate does, that's going to change.
All right. Richard Wolff, Professor Emeritus from the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, setting in context the protests in France. What do you think about that?
Carolyn from Boston. The difference between the French protesters and the American protesters is that the French poor have not allowed themselves to be bamboozled by the elites.